Oh Lord God, thank you for a love that never lets us go. Even in the messes of our lives, Lord, you come, you find us. You call us out of the darkness of our mess to follow you. Help us, O Lord, to do what you want us to do, to love, even as you have loved us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. So we are right in the middle of a sermon series called Out of the Mess, about talking about how God takes our messes. And we're part of it is acknowledging that we're all messed up. We're all sinners. We confess that we have all sinned and fallen short of God. And some of the messes are easier to clean up. I know in my household and growing up, there was always one person who was there to clean up the messes. Mom. All right. So for all you moms who clean up all our messes, and Annie's, you even clean up some of my messes, and you're not my mom, but thank you. All right. So for those of you who help us in our lives, thank you. But sometimes there are messes that are a little harder to clean up. I know sometimes you get that letter in the mail from the bank that says your checking account is overdrawn. Ugh, you hate, it's happened to me, it's awful, all right? You move money and it's okay, but just you feel, ugh, I messed up. Or maybe there was a test at school and you thought that you were prepared and you thought you knew the material, but when you sat down to take the test, you realized you weren't ready. And you came out of that test and you realized, I messed up. Or maybe there was a project that you were assigned to at work, and you thought that you had given or delegated, and you had other people all on the same page, but as the deadline comes near, you realize it's not going to work out, and you have this dreadful feeling in your gut, I messed up. Or maybe it's one morning you wake up in your marriage, and you realize that the person next to you, you really don't know anymore. You have too many years of going, just kind of passing through the night, and you realize, what's left of my marriage? What's left of my relationship? I've messed up. What do you do? What do you do when you feel, I've messed up? That's what we're talking about in this series. And we celebrate this amazing truth, is that the mess that brings us together is the mess that brings God near. That God loves this messy world so much that he sent his one and only Son. Or the Bible, we believe that Jesus loves all the little messes, all the messes of the world, red and yellow, black and white. Jesus loves the messes in his sight, all right? He loves the little messes, but this is an important part, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. Jesus loves us as we are, no matter where we might be, no matter what messes might be in our life, but God wants more. God wants us to have life, abundant life, and so he calls us to follow him. But I think our as Christians, sometimes we think that we hear this message that as long as you ask God for forgiveness, all right, God will clean up your mess. And sometimes we think that we can keep making the same messes over and over again and just keep it back to God. And I don't think that's Christianity. I think that's a perversion of what Jesus died on the cross for. He called us out of our messes, out of the darkness, to follow him. When we keep making the same messes over and over again, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about it. He says that makes grace cheap. It makes it like we as Christians, we call, AAA, when we're broken down and we want a quick fix, all right, fix it. And they come in and they fix our problem and they drive away. We want God sometimes to do that, right? Just come into our lives, fix our problems, and make everything better. But that's not the way Christianity works. That makes grace cheap. And this is what cheap grace is, according to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. He says that cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without inquiring people to say, I'm sorry, or to acknowledge that there is a mess. It's baptism without accountability, without that follow-up of teaching. It's communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without a Savior, grace without Jesus Christ. And so as we come to God today, we acknowledge that we're sinners, that we've made a mess, that we need a Savior. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And Jesus says, follow me. Follow me out of your messes. Follow me out of your darkness. But if you follow me, you will have the light of life. And I think that's what we want. We want that light. We want that to make sense of our lives. And that's what Jesus offers as the light of this world. And so today I want to look at a passage that Paul writes to us in Philippians. And as we hear about this, and Jesus, as Paul writes this, Paul is writing from Rome because he's a prisoner in chains. And the emperor at this time is Nero. And Nero was not nice to Christians. He persecuted and killed many Christians because of their faith. And so Paul is trying to encourage people who feel that their lives are a mess, not because of anything that they're doing, but because their emperor is Nero. And following Jesus has a real cost. They might die for what they believe. And so this is what Paul writes. He writes, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you, because I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And as I read this, kind of getting ready for this sermon today, I thought of you guys, all right? I thought of you guys here at Talmadge Lutheran Church and how thankful I am for you. Because you guys are living it. You guys are doing it. Yesterday we had Second Saturday Serve, right, Kyle? And we had about a dozen people show up to serve. Not because they had to, not because, but they wanted to. Take what they've received and give. I'm thankful for you because you teach Sunday school classes, because you take the light of Jesus to work, because together we're doing something more than what we could do on our own, to partner in sharing the gospel. That's why I want to say thank you. Thank you for the ushers that hand out the bulletins. Thank you for the elders that are standing back there and they're actually listening. Yay, good job. Thank you for the people who sing in our praise team. Thank you for everybody who makes Talmadge Lutheran Church what it is in our walls, but also you go outside our walls, into your workplaces, into your schools, and you take the love of Jesus and you live it out in partnership with the gospel. Thank you. You make me smile, all right? I love you guys. But then Paul goes on to encourage what it looks like as we follow Jesus. Paul says he's confident of this, that he, who's he? That God, who has begun, he's begun what a good work in you. And so I love this phrase that Paul uses, because it speaks to you and to me, because God has begun something. God has begun something today. Little Luke was brought to the baptismal font. God began faith. God began a relationship with Luke that we pray will last his entire life. Today we celebrate that God has begun something in each one of us. God has begun through his Son, Jesus Christ, calling us by the gospel into a relationship with himself. Not only that, but this is a good work that is happening inside of us. That God is working in you and in me. He's working something from the inside out. And so when I think of Christianity, when I think about following Jesus, it's something that God is doing. It's an inside out kind of faith. That there is something inside of us, a light that God is calling us to follow. A Holy Spirit, a conscience that God is trying to work from the inside of us to the outside of us, a maturing, a process of growing in our baptismal identity as children of God. The whole sentence goes that this good work that God has begun in us, that God, he will carry it on to what? To completion. To completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this phrase because sometimes it gets tiring. Working, living, taking care of a family. It gets tiring cleaning up your own mess and other people's messes. But God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to begin this work, and I'm going to complete this work. Lean into me. Press into me. And so if you find yourself in a moment right now where you're tired, you're worn out, you don't know where to turn, lean into this promise where God says, don't give up. What I've started in you, I'm going to finish. You can't do it, but with God's help, all things are possible. And so lean into God, for he is the one that will bring it to completion. And what God wants to do in you is to make you mature and make you secure, all right? It's a process that God wants you to be more and more secure as your identity as his child, that who you are starts with being God's son, being God's daughter. It influences all that you say and all that you think and all that you do. And as you're secure in that identity, knowing that God will provide for you, it takes away that fear. It takes away that insecurity because you are secure in God. There's also a maturity that you have this knowledge that God is with you, that there's nothing to be afraid of, that you're here to with a purpose to serve, to help, to love the people that God has placed around you. And so this process that God wants to complete in you is to make you secure, to make you mature in your Lord Jesus Christ. And then he kind of wraps this up. He says, and this is my prayer. He's praying for those who he holds as partners. And I don't know about you, but when I pray, sometimes a lot of my prayers are kind of selfish. They're about my kids. Last night I was writing in my prayer journal, and guess who I prayed for first? My kids. All right, then I prayed for my wife, and then I prayed for this Sunday that worship can go well. All right, who is that all about? Me. All right, people all about me. And Paul prays with a different perspective. He digs a little bit deeper. He prays for love. He just doesn't pray for the people around him, but that they may have a love that abounds more and the more in the depth of knowledge and of insight, that they might love God and know that God loves them, but also love the people around them. So Paul here isn't trying to say you've got to be better. He's saying, I want you to be a better lover of people. And at the heart of following Jesus, I think this is what it looks like. To be a better father who loves their kids, who loves their spouse. To be a lover of the people that we work with. To be someone who cares so deeply for the people whom God has placed around for us that when we see a need, when we see a hurt, we've got to do something. And so God prays for us that we may become mature, that we may be completed and secure in our identity, that we may love, that we may put others first. And all of this is not to earn salvation, but it's out of response for what God has done for us, that we love because he first loved us. That's why we love, because he loved us. He forgives us. He gives us life. And so I want to read this verse together. All right, kind of as a wrap-up of this message, let's read this verse together, then I got one prayer for you for this week. But maybe you're wondering, I can't do this. Know that he who has begun it will complete it. Let's read this verse together. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. This week, pray this prayer as God is working in you. Heavenly Father, complete the work you've begun in me. Open up my eyes to see what you're doing, that I may join you on your mission, in your work. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for the work that you've begun in our hearts and our lives. Heavenly Father, help me to be a part of what you've begun in me, to love, to give, to help those other who are in their messes. Lord, give me the strength, because I don't have it. We don't have it. But Lord, through you, may you complete the work you've begun in us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.